and Tis the Law has the lead at the top of the stretch. It is Tis the Law in front with 3/16 to the finish. Tis the Law has a four-length lead. He's left the others behind.
Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Racing Across America is brought to you by Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group, Leah Cars for life. Find them on the web at leahcars.com. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America live from Saratoga. Our clear court set. The horses have been working out behind us all morning long on really a beautiful Friday morning. Still a little bit humid, but as I say that, it's kind of come down already over the last hour. So I think today's going to be a gorgeous day. Tomorrow, even better for Traverse Day. Really looking forward to it. But today, Friday, it is a New York-centric day, New York Showcase Day. So I made it a New York-centric program as well for Racing Across America. A little bit later on, we'll be joined by our friend Ron Nicoletti as our colleague Brian Addo headed down to fill in for Ron. You'll see Brian on the Paddock Show if you're watching a little golf stream this afternoon. But Ron's up here for a week visiting, so whenever Ron's in town, we have him in with us. But you'll also be joined by his cousin Tom Mina, who is a New York breeder, so appropriately enough on New York Showcase Day. Naj Thompson, the executive director of the New York Thoroughbred Breeders, he will join us a little bit later on, but we're going to kick things off with Aaron Yagoda, a board member from the New York Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association. Aaron, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. Thanks for having me.
Happy to have you. As I say, it's a little bit of a New York-centric morning and afternoon, and so I thought we'd take the opportunity to talk a little New York racing and just how lucrative a program it is if people want to jump in and whatnot. And one of those, I'll start right out with this because I'd love you to talk a little bit about, we've had some NYTHA people in already this year and talked a little bit about the Empire Racing Club. Community Adjusted is one of the horses part of the club, has run up here just a week and a half or so ago. But I wanted to go back to Belmont on May 20th. Community Adjusted will be the number four horse here and gets a victory for the Empire Racing Club. And for folks who are up here at Saratoga and see those partnerships in the winner's circle, the big smiles on their faces, and have an inkling, hey, I'd kind of like to get into the game. Talk about how they can maybe dip their toe in and learn a little more about ownership through the Empire Racing Club.
Well, the Empire Racing Club is something that was started by Rob Masiello, whose horse was, he graciously donated this horse to the club, and Christina Bazanakis, and got us started. And it's really to give people an insight into how a horse ownership works without putting in a real big investment. So you can get your feet wet, you can ask any question you want. We're really here to help you. We're not here to sell you a partnership or anything like that. And then you can get involved in any different types of ways. You could be a person by yourself. If you like action, you could join with a couple of friends, partner up, or you could join one of the big partnerships. And you could do it with your family, and it's just a great sport to have.
Yeah, we have partnership people sit in all meet long as well. Dan Collins and Bonaventure, they're one of our sponsors, and we've had Dan in already. The West Point guys, they're local, and we always like to root for their connections. Hoping to get the America's Pastime folks in before the meet's over. But it's a great way to get into the game, and the Empire Racing Club, as you say, allows people to kind of get a feel and maybe step into the winner's circle,
right,
as they did down at Belmont.
It's kind of like a social club, but it's really an educational club. We have a lot of Zooms. We couldn't meet in person, but now we meet in person. We go to the paddock together, and it's a great way to meet a lot of people without, you know, you're always a little nervous how you want to talk to somebody, and we really want to be a liaison to help you get, if you want to meet any trainer, be in any partnership, at any level of investment, we're really there to help you. And also anyone at NYTHA at www.nytha.com, use us. We're New York Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association, and we're here to help anyone that is a horseman or wants to be a horseman.
Very good. And I will ask, we've had you on the show before and probably cover this, but for people who maybe are new and just watching, how did you originally get into the game?
My grandfather had horses in the 40s here in Saratoga. I have win pictures from, I think, 1948 was the earliest. Then my dad had it. I got the bug the worst. I got my first horse in 1985, and this is my 54th consecutive Saratoga summer. So I am the world's oldest camper.
I like that. I like that. And I'm guessing those wind pictures from the 40s, they had the old chalk circle.
Yeah, the old chalk circle, yeah, yeah, yeah. And it looked like the paddock didn't have the paddock as it is now. It was around some trees, and it looked like they took the picture sometimes out there, but it's great.
Yeah, if people don't remember, when you go out to the paddock now, and it's a fence, it wasn't like that. It was just, there was no fences.
There was no fences. Just so you see the horses in the paddock around the trees, they were just scattered around. It's amazing that, you know, they couldn't do it this day and age. But it's amazing how close you could get to those horses back then.
It was incredible. And I vaguely remember that from my first visits up here, and the clubhouse being a little bit different. Things have certainly changed, and many and most for the better of the game. And let's talk a little bit about, first we'll talk about how important Saratoga is to owners and New York racing. And then we'll expand a little bit and get into the rest of the year and how that important that is to the game, too. But first, let's touch on Saratoga and just how big an important part of New York racing, but really nationally as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is the premier of this, and they think Del Mar, but I really think it's Saratoga. Yeah. And, you know, we all meet here. We're people come from all walks of life, from all areas of the country, and we just meet here, and this is our summer camp, and we're all fighting for that same win, you know, that coveted winner circle in Saratoga. And you go through town, you talk horses. If you love horses, this is the place to be.
Yeah, I say, I probably said it 20 times at the meet already. People may be tired, but I say we have a fence right here. And I say what makes Saratoga so special is what's outside the fence. With the great racing is great and part of it. But it is, you go downtown and you're eating dinner and the people at the next table are talking about their double.
It's amazing, right. During the day, with the fence is to keep us in. At night, it's to keep us out.
Yeah, very good. Let's also talk about, as I say, the rest of the year. Belmont, very important, spring and fall. But Aqueduct at the winter really is an important engine driving New York racing.
Oh, yeah, and it is really important, especially for the New York breeders. Today is a New York showcase type of day. But year-round, the New York breds and the New York people, and we're one of the only sports that have all year, yeah, right? Most major sports have a season. If you're an action person and you want to get into an action sport and you want to own, like, your own sports team, racing is, you could play at any level. You could get your own farm team, breed them. You could buy them at the sales. That's like going to the draft. You can claim. That's like the trading during the season. And we're here year-round. So if you need action year-round, whether you're a Wall Street guy or just a guy or anybody, not just a guy, or any person, this is really a great sport to get involved. And you can do it with your family. And you will fall in love with your horse.
and again, going back to those partnerships, it's funny. I've talked to people in the partnerships, and it seems to be a consensus that you can own 50% of the horse, or you can have a little hair on the tail. You're just as thrilled when they come down the stretch.
You own it. I mean, you've been around the game a long time. Years ago, one guy used to own 50 horses. Now 50 guys own one horse. So somewhere in between, you can get involved. And you, no matter when that horse wins, it's your horse.
And I'll ask you, because you've kind of alluded to it already, talking about us being a year-round sport and different from other sports. But one of the things that I think has made us unique over the past year and a half, I'll get your opinion. I think racing did a really good job through the pandemic. I think the silver lining, if you can find one, was I think racing kind of grew and grew fans during the pandemic.
I really think the TV coverage being the only one of the only sports back, you know, in the 70s before we got to OTV, we were pretty had good TV coverage. I don't know if you remember the old Frank Wright show and the Harvey
Frank
Pack
and Charles
show.
Canning,
right. We used to watch for a half hour on Channel 9 for 30 minutes a week. And I think, you know, with the COVID and stuff and being the only one on, we got back on TV, and it really helped us get back in front of the fans and show them what it's like to be back in racing.
Yeah, that was one of the things that got me into the game, because when cable, I'm from this area originally, when cable TV first came in up here, WOR was one of the channels on there, Frank Wright and Charles Canning, Dave Johnson.
6 o'clock Saturday night.
Yeah, you plugged it. And when they came up here, they would cover the last race live, I think, and then have a couple of replays. But yeah, that was, as I say, one of the things that helped get me into the game. Let's talk just briefly a little bit when I get some Knight the People in. Also talked, we had Rick Schossberg in earlier in the meet, and I know it's important with him. But aftercare has become such an important issue over the past, you know, 5 years, certainly in the game, and I think it's important to the New York Thoroughbred Horsemen as well.
Yeah, and Rick does a great job. I mean, he really, you have a horse that any horse in distress, they always say try to, you know, retire them one race early so they can go on and have a second career. And it's just not the end, you know, it's like your child, these horses. Yeah. You want to make sure your child grows up and does well, and you're going to look after it. We're not, it doesn't end when your ownership ends. We try to make sure that they could, you know, get qualified for something else in life, even if they're just going to be someone's backyard pet. We just want to make sure that they land up, in the right hands. And we do that by raising the upset price at a sale so that people can't, they don't land up in the wrong hands.
Yeah, and as I say, it's become an important issue for the industry over the past, certainly the past 4 or 5 years, maybe going back a decade, but NYFA has been kind of at the forefront of that as well. I want to go back a couple of weeks ago. You gave the introduction to Mark Cassie at the Hall of Fame, and obviously, you know, Cassie and Pletcher and the other inductees, I'm sure they have to spend a lot of time on the speech, but I'm curious what the pressure level is with the introduction speech.
Yeah, that was the greatest honor Mark gave me. I was shocked when he called me. I thought he was kidding at first, and you know, out of all the great owners he's had and all the great horses he's trained, to ask me to do that, I know him a long time, and that was my biggest honor in racing. That was to really, I mean, I'll never get in the Hall of Fame, but to give someone that induction into the Hall of Fame, Mark forever has a big place in my heart.
And for folks who weren't able to see it, it's on YouTube, and I would recommend doing it. I mean, Mark gave a great speech, and Todd Pletcher gave a great speech, and you, the introduction, Mike Rapoli within his introduction as well. It's worth checking out on YouTube. The Hall of Fame induction from a couple of weeks ago. But I also want you to relate for people who didn't get a chance to see it yet. The story of Mark and you picking up the horse at auction that kind of had the quick turnaround afterwards, that's a pretty good story.
Oh, yeah. So I met Mark at a sale. He said, I'm going to help you. And I thought I did something wrong to upset him. And he just liked me because I was kind of young in the game, and he knew that I had such a passion for it. And really, it is a passion sport. Once you get the bug, you'll have it forever. And Mark said he's going to help me. We show up at the sale. I said, listen, I only want fillies. So the first colt, we bought a colt for $5,000. We called a colt for $16,000. 3 weeks later, Mark calls me up and says, you know, we got an offer on these colts for $60,000. I said, we should probably take it. He's like, we did take it.
that's great. Mark's one step ahead of the right. game, certainly. And Aaron, before we let you go, we're going to wrap up shortly, but you're a pinhooker as well, and I always find that interesting. We were talking about that the other day, Sunday, when Bick was in. We were talking a little pinhooking. And for folks who don't know what that is, pinhookers will go to an auction, they'll buy a horse, and then kind of turn it around a little bit later. Talk a little bit about the philosophy of a pinhooker. And when you go to an auction, are you looking for something different as opposed to the person who's racing a horse, or is everybody just looking for talent?
Well, there's mainly two types of pinhooking. There's weanlings to yearlings, which I don't do. That's you take the baby, you just grow them up and hope they grow up fine, and they shell them as a yearling. I do the yearlings to two-year-olds. So I try to find something that's going to be precocious and early, something that might be on someone's short list at a yearling sale, but they want to see a little more before they would buy it, and then we could refine it. And when you're right, they'll pay you for that. And when you're wrong, you have another racehorse.
And I pulled up yesterday doing a little research. I saw, and I believe I'm correct here, American Anthem was a pinhook of yours, correct?
Yes, American Anthem. Analyze it.
We're going to look at the 2017 Woody Stevens with American Anthem getting it done, the number 8 horse here. Just remember pinhooking this horse.
Yeah, American Anthem was a Bodemeister. It was $180,000. And as a yearling, which was my one of my highest prices I ever paid for a horse. And we resold them at a two-year-old sale for $435,000, which was quite interesting that we resold it back to the people we bought it from.
Yeah, very good.
So we watched it for a few months, and I'm happy they did well with him. I think they resold part of him for quite a bit more money than they paid for him. And everyone did well with that.
Do you ever, I'm guessing the answer is probably no, because do you ever regret selling a horse, particularly if they turn out talented like that? Or are you saying we hit the ball out of the park, so we did what we wanted to do?
You know, I root for them to do well because I want repeat customers, and if you don't sell good ones, they'll think that you just kept the good ones for yourself, so you have to do that.
Yeah, very good. Aaron, we really appreciate the visit, and again, I wanted to keep things kind of New York-centric today on New York Showcase Day and talk a little bit about New York racing in these big days as well and how it benefits people to maybe look at some of the New York-bred horses.
The New York-breds, they say they start with an advantage. That's two advantages. One, they run for a lot of money, and two, they get to run against other New York-breds for most of the time. But they do hold their own in open company, and it really gives you a big advantage owning a New York-bred.
Yeah, we'll talk in a moment with Naj Thompson as well from the New York Thoroughbred Breeders more about that. But New York Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association, again, Aaron Yagoda, a board member. I've had a lot of fun during the meet talking with some of the NYFA folks and getting folks maybe a little more information about the work you do and how people may get involved in the game. As Aaron said, you can visit the website as well. Or folks see you and some of the other NYFA members around the track.
Any of you seeing any of us, we're more than happy to help you at any time.
Sounds good. Aaron, appreciate the visit.
Thank you, Seth. Be well.
All right, we'll take a break. And as mentioned, Naj Thompson from the New York Thoroughbred Breeders will join us momentarily. Stay tuned.
Thank you, Seth.
Welcome to the West. I'm Scott Varley at Saratoga's latest and greatest high-rise luxury condo. Starting in the mid-fives, every condo here has two bedrooms and two baths and upgrades just like this. Check out these oversized private balconies. We also have a gym, a private lounge, and get this, a heated parking garage. To make a reservation for your private condo at the West, call or text me. I'm Scott Varley at 518-281-6808.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play, with easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport. It's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement, from world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
For four generations and looking forward to a fifth, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued their 99-year tradition of delighting their faithful following with the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Some things have changed in the last 99 years, but not Pinnell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine. Pinnell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
Welcome back to Racing Across America, a Friday morning, the Friday before Traverse, live from Saratoga on really a gorgeous Friday. It has been the tradition over the past few years. It's a New York showcase day leading into the big weekend ahead, and that means a lot of great races with a lot of great New York breads. And who better to talk New York breads than our friend Nige Thompson, the executive director of the New York Thoroughbred Breeders. Nige, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me on. Capital OTB has always been a big supporter of the New York Bred program, so happy to be here today to talk more about our program and what we have to offer today on Showcase Day.
Happy to have you here, and I've been saying to you all meet, I'm going to have you on, and I've had this date kind of circled because it's just logical with the big New York Showcase Day ahead. You, longtime NYRA guy, you moved over to the New York Thoroughbred Breeders. What was it, towards the end of last year?
Yes, last December I joined NYTB. Previous to that, I was at NYRA for 10 years in communications, marketing, and HR briefly.
And are you based up here now?
I am based up
You're
here.
You're a Saratoga guy now?
I am a Saratoga local. Moved just before the meet started, signed my lease. So you'll find me downtown strolling around on Broadway. Please say hi and hello.
Excellent. And give us the mission of the New York Thoroughbred Breeders. And while we do that, I think the guys put up a graphic of the New York Thoroughbred Breeders website, so folks want to visit. And it's a nice website to visit because there's a lot of news about New York breeds and what's happening in races as well, so I highly recommend it. But talk a little bit about the mission of the organization.
Definitely. We are the official authorized representative of the New York State Thoroughbred industry. Saying that, we represent all the breeders of our state, as well as the farm owners. What we do is we work to advocate the benefits of breeding in New York, as well as the New York Bred Program. We work with the New York State Thoroughbred Breeding and Development Fund, which helps with the purses and the awards that we offer, Breeder Awards, Stallion Awards, and Owner Awards. It's really beneficial to get into the program. And you look at days like Showcase Day, 1.5 million in purses over 11 races, all for New York breeds. How could you not want to get involved?
Yeah, incredible. And you and I were talking before we went on the air, and I asked if you had a number, and you have kind of an estimate, the number of breeders there are in the state of New York. It's kind of an incredible number.
Oh, definitely sure is. We have 238 farms throughout the state, and we have breeders that are local here to Saratoga, throughout the state, and as well in other states as well, because anybody in any jurisdiction can be a part of the program and join in.
Next up, I have Ron Nicoletti and Tom Minup coming on. Ron, of course, from Gulfstream, but Tom, his cousin, is a local guy and has a breeding farm locally here. And I met them over at the track the other day and was kind of shooting the breeze with them. And Tom said he was sitting home watching Ice Princess win for Randy Hill and thinking, hey, it's kind of nice. I'm sitting home and winning money. And talk a little bit about the program. If you're a breeder, it's not done if you sell the horse. You can, as Tom did, sit home and collect some money with the breeding program, which I think is a great benefit.
Of course, not at all. We have breeder awards, 7.5% if the stallion was sired outside of the state of New York, but you get 15% on top of the purse if it's New York sired. And we have some valuable stallions here in the state, Central Banker, War Dancer, so you can certainly get a piece of that pie and compete here in New York with a stallion in New York, or going to Kentucky and getting a great sire. And you see the racing that we have today, just top to bottom quality fields.
Yeah, and let's talk a little bit about that as well, because I pulled up a replay, and you know, New York breds, obviously all day today we have some really nice New York breds, but I just wanted to point out some of the open company performances as well. And I pulled up from your website, the leader of the money list so far this year is Cross Border. So I pulled up the Bowling Green from earlier at this meet. Cross Border will be the number two horse getting it done here. But Cross Border winning a grade two earlier in the meet, he's a New York bred. So these are these horses, yeah, they have these days where they can benefit. But compared to when I was a kid, these New York breds are now very special and can compete in graded company, open graded company like this.
Definitely, yeah. Cross Border over Mike Maker, Three Diamonds, just phenomenal season. And as well, you've seen Tis the Law in previous years, Upstart, Mind Your Biscuits. New York breds are getting it done in open company and here in New York, so it's a time to get into the program.
Yeah, and today, you know, that was a horse winning in open company. He comes back tomorrow in open company as well, Cross Border. But today we have some horses facing New York breds that were in open company. Make Mischief, if I'm not mistaken, bred right up here locally in Greenfield,
yes,
right?
Yes. No, that's correct, Seth. Yeah,
very
local
good.
Local horse and competing today, just great to see.
Yeah, coming out of open company, was in the test last time and has been in a couple other nice open company races, but steps in. And this afternoon you'll see more of those. And as they say, tomorrow you may see some New York breds like Cross Border facing open company. But you mentioned, and I had to pull it up because obviously over the past few years, this is the New York bred of note. And I have said it already a dozen times at least at this meet. It was so sad that people couldn't be here last year to see some of the big performances. And this was one of them. For our friends at Saratoga, New York bred Tis the Law, the number six horse here, wins the Travers last year. And as I say, this is clearly one of the more notable New York breds over the past few years.
Definitely. He was a flag bearer for the program. And today on track at 11:30, we have a poster signing giveaway with featuring Jack Knowlton, Barkley Tagg, Robin Smullen, and Manny Franco. So the whole team. So we'll come out and get your poster signed by them. But Tis the Law was just the quintessential New York bred over the past year for the program. Four grade one wins. Phenomenal horse.
Yeah, and as I say, when I was a kid, the New York bred program wasn't quite as prolific, and my colleague during the handicapping show brought it up. This is the kind of thing that he would know. He said today was the 40th anniversary of Theo Rito winning the Whitney. Now, I'm sure that's before your time, but maybe if you pulled it up on, I don't even know, but if it's available on YouTube, the story of Theo Rito coming in from the Finger Lakes, breaks through the gate, and wins the Whitney after that with Finger Lakes jockey Les Hewlett on board, which to me, as a guy going back, as I say, to a time when the New York bred program isn't what it is today, that was kind of the turning point, I would think, for me, the Theo Rito coming in from Finger Lakes winning the Whitney.
Definitely a watershed moment, and it just proves that throughout time, New York breds have always been able to compete once they've been given the shot. So that's why it's important that we want to work to get everyone involved. Buy yourself a New York bred, the big purses that exist competing just between New York breds, and also when you have a good quality horse, you can win that open money and get awards on top of that.
Talk a little bit about a week and a half or so ago, we had the basic Tipton sale. It's better part of 2 weeks ago, we had the open sale, the Monday and Tuesday, and then a week later, the New York bred sale, which is always an important sale up here, and it's become bigger and bigger. And it used to be that open sale was a social event and the backyard would be crowded. Now it's a social event and the backyard isn't just crowded, it's wall to wall. But the New York bred sale has picked up where that is as popular with folks and they like to go and enjoy that. And last year, unfortunately, both sales were missed, which I think probably, I'm guessing, hurt the New York bred sale even a little bit more, because they then shipped some New York breds down to Kentucky to make up for it, but it's not the same as being up here at Saratoga. So talk about the sale a couple of weeks ago and the return to Saratoga.
Definitely. As you mentioned, Seth, last year with COVID, unfortunately, we didn't have our local preferred bred sale, but Phasic Tipton, we worked with them in the county and getting it back. We had a book of 308 foals in total, the yearlings offered, and the numbers were just through the roof. And you saw buyers not only from New York State, but from Kentucky. And you got to really thank the consigners, Fasig, the breeders, everybody stepped on board, and the numbers are great. And you're going to see some good quality horses. Tis the Law came out of that sale, and future going forward, you're going to see some great New York breds. And the value that you can get for what's offered is just unbelievable.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Tis the Law came out of the Fasig sale, so that's notable as well. But it's an important sale for the New York breds up here every year, and it was great to have it back. And as they say, it's also become kind of a social event, as the open sale is also. Naj, always curious, always ask people, now that you're with the New York Thoroughbred Breeders, and as I say, before that, you were with NYRA for a long time, how'd you get into the game?
You know, my uncle, he was a fan. He became a small-time breeder in Florida, but I would hang on his pants legs going to OTB, Aqueduct, Belmont, later we moved to Florida, so it was Gulfstream and Calder. I refused to call it Gulfstream Park West. You know, rest in peace to that track. But I used to go with my uncle like every weekend, every weekday. Can you cash these tickets for me? And that's how you get the bug, you know, just following the jockeys, the horses. Just a great sport overall.
And we talked a little bit with Aaron about it. I will talk with you as well. Just talk about the three venues. And today, big racing day up at Saratoga, but the other venues have big New York Bred Day days as well. Talk about Saratoga, how important that is to the New York Bred program, but Belmont and Aqueduct also.
Definitely. The Saratoga Showcase Day is the highlight of the New York Breeder Year. I mean, this is where it's at. You know, the historic venue and, of course, the purses that are offered. But as well, we also have showcase days in the fall at Belmont and on Memorial Day at Belmont, which are also great days in the summer and the fall time. But here at Saratoga, it's just, you know, everybody wants to win here, and you get a chance to do that with a New York bred on a day for New York breds. It's where we showcase them, and we showcase the best of our program.
We were talking, as my colleague Anthony Marmino and I during the handicapping show, I want the Big Apple triple bonus to come back.
Yes.
The Mike Lee, the New York Derby, and the Albany. I thought that was a lot of fun. I'd love to see that come back for the three-year-old New York Breds. And I will say, today's Albany is stacked.
Oh, definitely. You've got Bobby Bowe, American Revolution, just a great field all across. And we have a $2 pick four starting today with the Albany and the Yaddo heading into the Purcell Ensign and the Travers. So you can definitely find some value there if you're sharp enough and get your figures together.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. And again, it's a two-day pick four, $2 minimum. Today it is the Albany and the Yaddo. Tomorrow it's the Purcell Ensign and the Travers. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Definitely. No, it's going to be a great wager. Thankful to NYRA for partnering us and getting that across the board. And really some great value out there for you bettors to find.
Yeah, and Naj, again, appreciate the visit this morning. And again, I wanted to have you in on New York Showcase Day because I thought that was a perfect tie-in, you being the executive director of the New York Thoroughbred Breeders. And we're wishing you and everybody participating this afternoon a lot of good luck and a lot of focus on the New York breds, which, as I say, from when I was a kid, have completely changed. You will see horses, New York breds this afternoon, stepping out of open company and coming in. That Albany, a great example of a loaded New York bred race with horses that are completely capable of facing open company. And then tomorrow, some New York breds like Cross Border facing open company. So it's a nice weekend for the New York breds, and we appreciate the visit.
Thanks, Seth. Thanks to Capital OTB. Always helpful to be a partner and appreciate the support.
Naj Thompson, executive director from the New York Thoroughbred Breeders, again, on a New York Showcase Day here at Saratoga. We'll talk a little bit more about that up next. Our friend Ron Nicoletti, his cousin Tom Mino, as I say, is a New York breeder. All of that right after this. Stay tuned.
Juvenile fillies turf, 14 of them across the track. Heels set on their way. And the dance on the outside, broke a little sideways with Bro KK, but meanwhile it's going to be stopped. But running on now, and Somali Lemonade's got eight to make up. They come to the top of the lane, stop shopping. Maria's got a lot left. Stop shopping. Maria goes on. Sweet Cat is right there, hard not to like. Royal Body is running on. Past the eight ball, they come. Stop shopping. Maria for the run. Still under a hand ride as they come to the 16th. Stephanie's Kitten coming out late. Yes, Stephanie's Kitten coming fast. Stephanie's Kitten. Stop shopping. Maria. Stephanie's Kitten's water.
Watched her chances, broke smartly, but so did Terra from the Cape. On the inside, Sky Lantern, the Grey going well. If he can get through, can get through. Sky Lantern, the Grey looking for somewhere to run. Wide, wide open. It's Terra from the Cape hanging on. Terra from the Cape tries to go all the way. On the outside now, here comes Flotilla in the light blue. Flotilla is absolutely flying. Watch the chances in there too. But Flotilla has gone right on by. And Flotilla is coming home to score. Flotilla has won it just about two in the end. It'll be Watch the Chances, Summer of Fun, coming on to finish there.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on a Friday morning. As I said before the break, always happy to be joined the annual visit. Oh, well, annual, but didn't get you last year. But our friend Ron Nicoletti back in town, his cousin Tom Mina, who is a breeder locally as well and perfectly suited to jump in on a New York showcase day and New York breeder. Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Nice. And Ron, we're happy to have you in the kind of the old switcheroo, our colleague Brian Addo. Jumped off TV yesterday, hopped on a plane. He'll be down at Gulfstream. You're here.
Yeah, just you don't switch your channel, as they say. And the funniest thing is I don't count last year. Now, last year doesn't count, yeah. So I was here, you know, 1 year ago as far as the way I look at it.
I think a lot of people aren't counting last year.
Ronnie's been coming here for 33 years.
And how did you guys first get into the game? Tom, I'll ask you.
Actually, Ron had a horse before me, claimed a horse. And he ran it at the Meadowlands, and I was so jealous because I wanted to do it. But he was single, and I was married with two kids, so I had about $11 to my name.
Rob, how'd you get in?
Well, basically through him and through my Uncle Mike, you know, who were handicapped, and he was nuts over it. He'd go, he'd come to the house and say, let's go to Yonkers, you know, and speed up the Yonkers after work. So we're always, you know, interested in that. And I would just say my Uncle Mike is just a, you know, Damon Runyon character ever was. He'd be on the rail. If you talked to him, he'd throw a kick at you, you know, and I was just interested in how he got to do all that stuff.
Yeah, very good. I did not have the family connection. For me, it was a friend of mine in high school. We'd sit in the study hall and open the paper, pick horses, and then the next day we'd see how the horses did. Maybe we'd sneak into an OTB a year or two short of when we should be and place a bet for the next day.
I'm old enough to, when there was no OTBs, bookmakers.
remember the New York OTBs when you used to bet by the number?
Yeah.
Or by the letter. By the letter. Letter. Yeah, by the letter.
We were talking about that. That was a trip to go into the OTBs.
I'll have the A horse.
Yeah. And they were the big cardboard tickets they pumped out. Yeah. We'll do a little handicapping for tomorrow in a moment. But before we do that, I want to talk a little bit. And Tom, we'll start with you. And we were talking the other day, and I said this to Naj when I had him in from the New York Thoroughbred Breeders. People maybe don't realize, you know, when you're a breeder, after you sell the horse, if you have a New York bred, you can still make a little bit of money. When we were talking the other day, you said, and I'm going to pull up the race here from August 19th, just a few days ago, Randy Hill had Ice Princess. That'll be the number two horse. You said you were sitting at home, kind of watching your money come under the finish line. Talk about the New York Bred program and how much fun it is to be sitting in a situation like this.
I root, watching this replay, but I root just as hard for my babies that were born on my farm. I mean, I made like, I don't know, $7,500. The New York program's great. And I have a better story. I named a horse 9 years ago after a friend of mine who's a dean of Albany Medical College, and I named the horse Dean Verdial. He won the other day, 9 years old, $5,000 claimer at Finger Lakes. I'm still collecting.
The restaurant in Troy?
Well, that's
signed in with that?
That's the fellow's name is Vince Verdal, and he's the dean of Albany Med. So I named the horse Dean Verdal. He won his first two races at Aqueduct.
I remember the horse.
Yeah. And he's still running. He's still running.
Good,
and you still make money.
By the way, that's the family. That's his cousin.
Okay. And your farm is right outside town here?
Yeah, about 3 miles as the crow flies. And it's great. I love it. It's what I call a boutique farm, and it's really pretty. And I have 5 mares, and right now I have 4 babies, and that Ice Princess. I have a half brother by Mike Toley, so he'll be nice.
I got to interject here. You know, the name of the farm is Five Oaks Farms, and Tom's got a great story to tell you real quickly that there is no oaks on his farm.
So being a New York City kid, I came up and these 100-year-old trees, and we couldn't think of the name of the farm. And my nephew, who was also a New York City kid, was doing a lot of work, and I said, Nick, he says, well, they're maple trees. No, he said, He said, no, they're oak trees. I said, okay, we'll name the farm Five Oaks.
Wait, oaks have the acorns and stuff.
Ten years goes by, and my friend who owns 600 acres in Prattsville comes up and said, they're maple trees. So 3 years ago, we had a hurricane, and now the farm's name should be Two Maple Farms.
Oh, it's one of my favorite stories.
That's great. Yeah, they have the acorns, you know.
I know. I'm from the Corona. I was born underneath the elevator train.
Oh, that's hilarious. And just before we move on, you had some horses at the sale, the New York Red Sale the other night.
Yes, I did. I got lucky with a couple of horses. I had a Justify Filly. She's pretty, but she was vetted a few times, but I didn't think there was enough money, so I'm going to keep her in racer. My son definitely wants me to race her, so we'll see what happens.
All right. We'll keep our eyes open for that one. If folks are looking at the breeder line, it's mine, Equivest.
Equivest. Yeah,
all right.
Right.
So folks see that there. They know they can root for some local connections. I always like to tout local connections on the owner's side. Then we'll throw in on the breeder side as well. Ron, before we get to handicapping and whatnot, talking to you the other day, give us a little update with the work that's going on down at Gulfstream.
Well, we're working on, is the big news, of course, we're going to have 3 different courses.
Which I think is a great idea.
It's really a good idea. We were talking to Bill Mott the other day, and I'm just sort of, you know, throwing out the idea. He says, I love the idea. So we'll have a Tapita on the outside. We'll still have 2 turf courses and, of course, the dirt track. And the Tapita, you know, we don't have the Gulfstream Park West anymore, so you have to give a turf course a rest when we go into the championship meet. So this is the perfect way. You could run on the Tapita, and when it rains, which it, as you know, I don't know if you know, it rains in Florida, that you can put the, you know, run the races on the Tapita. That's what they run on in New York, all-weather track or turf. So I think it's going to be real interesting, and it looks sharp too with the different rails. They have these white rails. It's going to be. Now we're going to learn how to handicap at Tapita surfaces. So.
Going back to when Keeneland had the synthetic surface, I think we all realized that is a great alternative for those days when it rains. And Keeneland used to get more horses when they moved it to the synthetic surface. So hopefully, you know, the turf races will hold together a little bit more. So I think it's great for the bettors.
Yeah, it's going to be great for the bettors. So they will hold together. And, you know, just as, you know, when the championship meet comes instead, you know, and a lot of guys want to run on the turf. And you know, you just can't have the 12.5 or the 16,000s running on the turf. And they can run on the Tapita surface. So I think it's going to win-win situations. It's going to be interesting how you see it.
And how soon is it going to launch?
Well, it was supposed to be when we go to 4 days on September 9th, but there's inside rails are not done yet, so I heard it's going to be mid-September now. We are going to 4 days. We've been 3 all summer. We're going to 4 days, I think, the week after Labor Day. And, you know, South Florida, and we'll see how it goes. I think it's going to be interesting to see how the whole thing plays out.
I'm going to get your comment, because we were talking about the other day, maybe the Sunday show or whatnot. The pick six over the years has been so quirky. For a while, it was huge out in California, big in New York, and now this jackpot does pretty good in Maryland, but man, down at Gulfstream, that rainbow is insane.
Well, all I can say is years ago, we would you know, when someone hit it, we'd seed it the next day with 25,000, then maybe 30,000. Now you seed it with 100, but within 3 days, yes, it's a half a million. And it's a good wager. It's 20 cents, you know, so you don't have to get that one unique ticket. You know, we've talked about, yes, this numerous times. If you get 6 out of 6, and you might put in 4,320 and get back 800, yeah, or $1,000. And that's the beauty of that. And it's just, I think the success is because it's affordable bet. Instead of, you know, when you got to go for a buck or $2 in the Rainbow Six,
right,
I mean, in the Pick Six, you got to go pretty deep, yeah, but to have any shot. Yeah. I mean, unless you play your phone number and you,
Seth,
get lucky.
I hit one day and I keyed Roddy Valenti's horse, that filly, that nice filly he had. And I hit it for $22,000.
I was like, oh my God. Yeah. No, and that you can put together a whale sized ticket for a modest amount of money.
Right. You know,
that's the difference.
And this year, I've been lucky, as you know, follow along. I've hit like six or seven of, not the unique ticket, yeah, of course, but six or seven. My ticket is usually around $40, and they pay $800, $1,000, $2,000.
Yeah, that's what I've said. Yeah, so. I said that to people when I'm doing the afternoon show the rest of the year down in the studio. I say, once it gets up to about half a million, certainly when you get the 750,000 or 800,000, the consolation can, be 800 or 1,000 bucks.
And
you
more.
Know, if you have a $40 ticket, that's a good afternoon, certainly. All right, we will try to set up a good afternoon. You guys have taken a look at a couple of races for tomorrow, so we'll try to give people a good afternoon there. And let's start out with the big race, the Travers. I am going to pull up the Jim Dandy, and we're going to watch three horses that are going to come back tomorrow. We're going to watch Essential Quality number 5 will be the win, but keep me in mind the number 4 gives him all he can ask for. Masquerade is third in here at the draw the other day. Al Stahl said Masquerade is working lights out. I couldn't get past Essential Quality. I just think he's kind of the leader in the clubhouse at this point in the season, and these others are kind of up and comers or second stringers from the early part of the season. So I stuck with him. I think Dynamic One from Pletcher is interesting, though. And Keep Me in Mind off the performance there. That's the way I went. Essential Quality over Dynamic One, Keep Me in Mind. Ron, what did you see?
Well, you know, we watched the race together this morning, and it looked like Miles D looked like got the perfect trip. The rail opened up for that horse. And Tom was pointing out to me, Dynamic One, you know, that this was a pretty good race by this horse.
Yeah.
So Essential Quality, I know that this horse, he'd make a case that maybe he hung a little bit in the stretch, and, you know, he just seemed that he was all out. You know, of course, this is a different distance today.
Yeah.
So, with that said, I mean, Essential Quality's got to be on my pick ticket, maybe Dynamic One, and you know, underneath. But I just think that Dynamic One, you got to give it an extra look to.
Yeah, and I was at Todd Pletcher's barn yesterday. I'll tell people that interview will be on tomorrow's Racing Across America. Special time, early start tomorrow, 8 a.m. Handicapper support, 9 a.m. Racing Across America because of the early 11:30 post time here. But I will have the Todd Pletcher interview, and he kind of feels like, and I looked at the buyer and said, lifetime best buyer, is he getting better now? He said, you know what, I think he is. So Dynamic One, interesting for me. Tom, what did you see?
You know, I listen, I'm one of those people that he closed deep into a moderate pace, not a fast pace, and his final eighth of a mile was 12-3, and I think that's as good as Essential Quality. Essential Quality's last eighth was 13-2, and they were, and Dynamic One's the track variant was 20. So, and I think Todd is slowly becoming the senior statesman around here, like the Alan Jerkins.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think if you beat Dynamic One, you win. Midnight Bourbon is my mystery horse. I don't
agree.
Know what to do with him, but he's I'd have to put him in there, but I'd say it's 1-2-4. You got to beat Essential Quality.
Yeah.
But Dynamic One, I think, is sitting on a big race.
I'm with you. I think Dynamic One is, to me, is the interesting horse.
And he's run with 26 before, so.
No. All right, let's turn back to the 4-go. On an afternoon of just crazy good stakes action, the 4-go, really a good sprint. Typically is. You put up grade one money for a sprinter in America, you're typically going to get a pretty good field. But boy, you look at this field, fan favorite Whitmore in here, Lexingtonian off of that win in the Vanderbilt, Mind Control now in the barn of Todd Pletcher off a nice win last time in the Nehru, Chance It down in your neck of the woods earlier this year for Safi Joseph, Yaupon coming off the nice win last time down at Pimlico, might have that one set up nicely. Forensic Fire, who just is a bona fide sprint stakes specialist. I'm going to pull up the Amsterdam from earlier in the meet. We'll see Jackie's Warrior get it done. Oh, excuse me. I am going to pull up the Light the Fuse from last time. I told the guys the wrong race there. Mm. So pull up the Light the Fuse because I want to see Yaupon get it done. The number seven horse. It was a short field, but I thought this race down at Pimlico, and given what we saw from Yaupon here last year, I'm going to tilt in that direction. Lexingtonian off the Vanderbilt, Whitmore the fan favorite. That's the way I have it. But, boy, I could point it about the rest of the field with equal confidence. Ron, what did you see in the forego?
I saw speed. I saw a lot of speed in this race, and I just think that Mind Control, for me, is going to sit that perfect trip. I like the fact that they changed barns, and as you said, the elder statesman, Todd's not going to be happy about that, but we'll call him that, and his new Hall of Famer. But I just think I saw speed, and I just kept going back to Mind Control. I think it's a perfect trip in here. But as you said, you got some world-class sprinters in here, and a lot of times when you handicap the race and you say, I see speed, oh, this horse could come. One horse goes to the lead and no one else goes with him. So that could be a horse like you're leaning to with Yaupon. So I saw the race setting up for Mind Control.
Interesting. Tom?
I like Yaupon, but I also like Mind Control, but I don't think Yaupon's going to be on the lead. I think he'll attend the pace. He's got, also, two races, he's got the best final eighth on the sheet. And he had a beautiful workout August 16th.
Yeah.
Second for Asmussen. That's who I like. I mean, but Mind Control, definitely what Ron said, it could easily win the race. Pletcher, second time Pletcher. And I like Whitmore because he'll be coming. Yeah. But my bet probably will be Yaupon.
Yeah, and Steve Asmussen, just over the past few years, has become kind of a sprint specialist with some of the horses.
You know, everybody's going to be rooting for Whitmore. That seems to be the fan favorite all around when he won in the Breeders' Cup. The people
and a friend of mine is Pat Cooper, the comedian. He bets he will have a sizable bet on Frenzy Fire. He only bets horses with double letters.
I like that angle.
And that's an old gambler thing from 60 years ago.
You know what I was telling somebody the other day that I haven't heard referred to in a long time, the old Holy Ghost. For folks who don't remember, if like the two won one race and then the two wins the next race, the rest of the races you have to look for the two horses.
You're going
for the old
Holy Ghost. Yeah,
I haven't heard that
before. Boy, if we had the time, I got a lot of racetrack jokes.
Ron Nicoletti, Tom Mina. Again, Ron taking a little break from Gulfstream. Our colleague Brian Addo down filling in for him, but we're happy to have you up here. And whenever you make a visit, we like to plug you in. And Tom, glad to have you here as a New York breeder on New York Showcase Day. Thanks for the visit.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
Good luck this afternoon. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll wrap it up for Racing Across America. Stay tuned.
For four generations and looking forward to a fifth, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued their 99-year tradition of delighting their faithful following with the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Some things have changed in the last 99 years, but not Pinnell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine. Pinnell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922, 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
Find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the capital region? Tell them, Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on a Friday, a fun Friday morning. And again, New York Showcase Day, so it's fun to kind of be New York-centric, and really appreciated the visit from Ron Nicoletti and Tom Mayen. Again, Tom, a New York breed. I love the story about the farm by Vokes. Appreciate them stopping by. Our friend Naj Thompson from the New York Thoroughbred Breeders, great to have him in, and Aaron Yagoda from NYTHA also. Really appreciate, again, some New York conversation very appropriately on New York Showcase Day. Hope you enjoyed it, and more importantly, I hope you enjoy the racing this afternoon with the New York Breeds. Great stakes card this afternoon, obviously leading into a great stakes day tomorrow. I will again continue to remind you, tomorrow we are early, 8 a.m. for the handicapper support, 9 a.m. for Racing Across America. Mark that on your calendar. You won't want to miss either show. Racing Across America, we kind of bopped around over the past few days and have recorded some things. At the draw the other day, talked with Ken McPeak, who has King Fury in the Travers, Swiss Skydiver in the Personal Ensign. We talked with Robertina Diodoro about Keep Me In Mind. We ran into Chad Brown yesterday, talked about Miles D and his Big Five Lynn Day on Wednesday. And we had kind of an extended sit-down over at Todd Pletcher's barn as well. Talked about his runner in the Travers, and then went beyond. I was just going to look. I'm not sure I can come up immediately with. We probably talked with him about at least five or six races where he's got runners tomorrow, obviously highlighted by Dynamic One in the Travers. But a nice interview with Todd Pletcher as well. And joining us live on the set, Greg Foley, Wisconsin, running tomorrow as well. We talked to him by phone earlier this year when Wisconsin was on a nice little roll down in Kentucky. And we said, if you're coming up and trying the grade one up here at Saratoga, we want you to sit in. So we'll have him tomorrow as well. Should be a fun show. And again, 9 a.m., special early start here at Saratoga for Racing Across America with the early post of 11:35 tomorrow here at Saratoga as well. Don't forget that two-day pick four. If that sounds intriguing to you, the two-day $2 pick four will kick off today in race 9, the Albany. It will include the race 10, Yato, and then tomorrow's races on that two-day pick four, the Personal Ensign and the Travers. Should be fun. Again, if that's your cup of tea, keep that in mind for this afternoon. All right, I think that brings us to the end of Racing Across America for another day. Happy to be in here and happy to have brought you kind of a fun couple of hours. Hopefully you enjoyed it. More importantly, hopefully we gave you some decent information to make your way through today and tomorrow. Really looking forward to it. Again, nice little breeze. The humidity has, really even since I've been in here this morning, last couple hours, the humidity seemed to have come down a little bit. So I think it's going to be a really nice Friday. Tomorrow's supposed to be even better for Travers Day. So make your plans. Come on up. If you're choosing other venues, don't forget the Clubhouse Racebook. Our branches obviously open, the Easy Bet locations as well. We'd love to have you swing on by or fire up your Capital OTB Bet account from your family room or your living room and put us on the TV during the day today and tomorrow. Going to wrap it up for Racing Across America for this Friday. But again, I want to keep emphasizing, tomorrow we're early. 8 a.m. handicapper support, 9 a.m. Racing Across America. We'll see you then.
You've been watching Racing Across America. Racing Across America has been brought to you by... Racing Across America is brought to you by... Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga. Just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group. Leah Cars for life. Find them on the web at leahcars.com. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.